Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello there.
Hello, brother. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It is January 4th, 1/4/2024. What do you have for us on this fine January evening?
I'm going to read an excerpt from the book I Won't Tell You Yet. Here we go.
That's a funny title.
Yeah, I know. Weird, right? It's only 10:30, Barry says. Let's get another one in. You can if you want. I'm going back. I don't want to have a drink with someone called T-Bone, but I got the feeling that that's exactly what Barry would want to do. I get the feeling that having a drink with someone named T-Bone could be the high point of Barry's decade. I don't want to muck your evening up. I just don't feel like staying. Not even for a half an hour? Not really. Hold on a minute then, I've got to take a piss. Me too, Dick says. When they're gone, I get out quietly and hail a black cab. It's brilliant being depressed. You can behave as badly as you like.
Nice. That's a good one. That's one I haven't read, but I want to. Oh,
I know. High Fidelity. I found that in the attic when I was going through like my books and thinking about the book club.
Yeah,
I have this.
I thought about that too. Yeah,
that's a good idea. I have the Stand, Master Commander here, High Fidelity. Great books. Oh, I mean, if you guys have seen the High Fidelity movie with John Cusack and Jack Black and those guys, it's just more of that.
Yeah,
all the comedy is there. All the lists, everything you like about the movies, they're just more of it.
I feel like I was at one point I was thinking, oh, I want to read that book. And then it's been a while. And I had this feeling that I read it. Like maybe I listened to it on audiobook or something, but maybe not. I don't know. Either way. Yeah. Definitely got to read that one. That's a classic. That's one of my favorite movies ever.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. Either maybe keep it for the book club or I'll just read it in between other books.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I would love to read it because, like, as you could tell, or maybe you couldn't tell, but from your, not you, but the listeners, like, from your reading, it has a lot more British slang because it's set in London as opposed to the movie, which is set in, I think, Chicago or something. Right.
So, yeah.
So it has all that, like, fun British and Cockney slang and stuff.
Yeah, you know? Right. Right.
Yeah. Like a tenor. Yeah.
But yeah, just the whole thing. It's him being like depressed about, not the whole time he's depressed, but it's all relationship stuff. And it was perfect when I read it. I was like 25 and single. So every little, I mean, it's like, you know, a deep dive into like funny relationship stuff and lists of girlfriends and seeing old girlfriends and doing this and that. It's just all really sharp, really funny, and just a great, great fun book. And it's all like he owns a record store, so it's all like half funny relationship stuff, half music stuff.
Yeah. I think Derek brought that movie home one time, like from Blockbuster. You know, like came home and he had like the DVD. It was like, this looks kind of cool. We should watch this. I think like he did that a bunch of times, so I could be getting it mixed up with something else, but I just remember watching it and being like, I forget who was it. One of us brought it on, whatever, but it was, that was a pivotal moment in my film education. It's so good, you know, because John Cusack is breaking the third wall all the time. where he's talking to the camera, which, like, I maybe had seen that in other movies as well. You know, you see it occasionally, they'll, like, do it a little bit, but he does it throughout the whole time, right? He's talking to you. It's like he's telling the story. And it's so good. So good.
Which makes sense, because the whole book is that, him talking to you as the author.
Right.
Like, now it seems like I'm this or that, but I want to describe why. And, you know, it goes into all that stuff. It's him talking directly to you about this thing. So you kind of have to.
Telling the story, but also talking. Yeah, right, yeah.
But John Cusack did that in some 80s movies, too. Like the one, what's the one where he's holding up the... He's holding up the boombox.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, the boombox.
So it's kind of like...
Did you do that movie as well?
Yeah.
It's like it was kinda, all off something. All
it was like, It was like him. He kind of became good at it, and this was the perfect role for him to do. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, great book.
It's a good one. Yeah.
Just fun stuff. There was better stuff, but I was just reading through it and just like chuckling at everything. I found that one little passage. Like him, like, nice. It's a great thing about being depressed. You can get away with bad behavior. Like,
<it's so> like just get him in. Let me go take a piss. Okay. And he just leaves.
Yeah, just ghost him. An Irish goodbye. Hey.
Nice.
Okay. Before we start, I'm going to mix I have a virgin cocktail. I'm going to teach you how to do it, but it doesn't have to be virgin. You can put vodka in it. I've just been, I've had like some headaches and I haven't feeling good and everyone's been sick. So I feel like it's been like 2 weeks, just me not feeling great. But I was like, I want something tasty. So I'm going to do this virgin tonight.
All right.
It's very simple. You want to take, I would say, I got some cranberry juice. Get the 100% juice kind. Even though it's never 100%. It's always like 100% juice, but it's like not cranberry juice.
Yeah.
And you want to give yourself...
Apple.
I say it's mostly cranberry. I'd say it's like... If you're doing four parts, it's two parts cranberry.
Okay.
One part Sprite.
All right.
And then one part... Or maybe less. You can really make this one go long. But you have to... There you go. Freshly squeezed orange juice.
Oh, all right.
So that's all it is. I mean, you know, that's... Yeah. Those things have been have been mashed up a million different ways.
Yep.
But I... oh, it's so good. Let me have a little sip here.
How was the mix?
Oh, my gosh. Because it's got, you know, cranberry is one of the big mixers for cocktails.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Especially around Christmas. Orange is kind of definitely around Maryland because we have orange crushes. But, and then Sprite, obviously, a lot of people put that in for the sweetness and for the bubbles.
Yeah. Years ago,
it's so darn good.
Maybe like 10 or 15 years ago, I was at, our yearly trip to Lake George, and someone had I think it was just seltzer, and so it was like orange juice and seltzer, just those two together. I was like, oh, it's so good. And actually, when I was in high school, my French teacher introduced me to Orangina, which is an orange soda, but it's like more like actual like Sprite and orange juice mixed together, right? So it's just a very orange soda, not like the, you know, fake orange soda.
Right. And obviously cranberry vodka is the thing. But you just add the Sprite and a little bit of orange juice to it. I would not even like one. I'd say if you split up into six parts, it'd be four cranberry juice, two Sprite, one orange juice. But it gives just a little something else. And I haven't even tried it with vodka in it yet, but that's your last step. It's just a shot or two, whatever you want to do of regular vodka, or you could even do like cranberry vodka if you're feeling
extra cranberry. Extra,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it does like what you're explaining. So the cranberry juice has the bitterness to it and the like the what is it? It's not like tang, but you know, on your tongue, it has that like bitterness that bitter things have on your tongue. And I think that's the same flavor and that's the same mouthfeel that I like about beer mosa, right? Beer and orange juice.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah, because
the
sharpness.
Beer has the bitterness, yeah, and then the orange juice has the sweetness, right? So it's mm-hmm. like puts those together, and then like obviously the beer also has the bubbles. It's got the carbonation, same thing that Sprite's doing, right?
So, you're right,
so it's
right.
like, yeah, nah, I can dig it. It sounds good.
Just good. I mean, I'm sure it has another name, but it's. I was just I've drank a few recently, just if I wanted something at night. Really good.
Well, I'm drinking a Guinness, and then my next one is a Devil's Backbone Juicy Magic Juicy IPA.
Nice.
Juicy Magic Juicy IPA.
Very juicy. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry, I just got a text from my coworker that, oh, she's a negative for COVID. Okay. She'll be out again tomorrow. She wasn't feeling good, so. She's out today. I thought she said she had COVID, but she's negative for COVID, but she feels awful. So, but I will.
It's just everyone's right. getting sick. It's this time of year.
Oh, yeah. It's been a wild, wild time. Everyone's sick. I was sick for like 2.5-3 weeks, you know, just, and like, you know, I don't know if it was the last podcast, the one before that, where my voice was all deep and stuff. You know, it's like, right. It's been a crazy, crazy time. And everyone, you know, it's because everyone's indoors and everyone's, you know, the cold just keeps, you know, your immune system from working as well, and germs fly yeah. around. And yeah, so, but we're so yeah. How was your Christmas? I'll let you go first because my story is all about that.
Good. Yeah, you know, we didn't go up to mom and dad's because dad mm-hmm. was sick, right? Mm-hmm. And then you left for Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah, so we just went to the in-laws and had a nice time and came home, and it was good, man. I got a cooler that I really wanted and love. I'm using it now.
Oh, nice.
To put all my mixers in. But I wanted two things I wanted from it was a hard inside. Mm-hmm. I like hard inside, soft outside.
Yeah.
And then a accessible flap on the top.
Right.
Because then you don't have to unzip the whole thing. Because we have one I've had forever that we take to the beach and stuff. It has a hand size flap on top. So especially if you just have beers in it. It's just, you open the flap up, it's Velcro. Reach but it's perfect. You know, it stays so much longer, the ice.
Nice.
Yeah. And so much quicker. So I wanted that, and I just couldn't find them. Like, I guess it just wasn't a thing. But then I found this Under Armour one with a hard inside. It's like a 12 can hard inside with a top flap, and like, God, it's perfect.
So I found nice. That.
So I've been loving it.
Sweet. So is that a Christmas present to yourself?
Yeah. No, well, it was a Christmas.
It was like you found it like,
from hey, Caleb. I was like, I want a cooler. She's like, okay. I was like, well, don't just grab one. I'll tell you the one I want because I wanted yeah. a very specific.
yeah.
I wanted a small cooler that I could. Have for like podcasts, but I could also take it biking or to the beach, like nice. Whatever, you know, I wanted to do. So yeah. Nice. And you know, the kids, Maeve loved it. She was much more I was like, man, wouldn't it be funny if like we were up on the roof like stomping around and stuff, and I was like, you know, I'll just do it. So I went up nice. Christmas Eve on top of our roof and like took bells.
So
I'll have to show you the video of, because, you know, like Maeve knows, like he lands on the roof, there's sleigh bells, yeah. there's this, she like knows, and I start stomping around up there and like doing the bells, and she's like, Santa? Like she's a little freaked out.
Yeah,
she's
right.
a little freaked. And it was much louder than I thought. Like I was really trying inside. To bang, because I couldn't tell, I didn't know. Like, Caleb's like, yeah, she's like, sound like the roof was coming. And I was like, well, it's like banging pretty hard.
You take, yeah, you're like, it's a whole sleigh and reindeer.
It's, yeah, expect? It's a lot of reindeers. So I'll have to share that video sometimes. It's pretty funny.
Is it a video that you took while you're like stomping and ringing bells?
No, it was from inside.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
So Maeve like reacting. And I was just standing up on the roof. Luckily, nobody drove by. That would have been kind of funny. Or the neighbors come out, you know. I'm just up there like, hey.
Perfect. Yeah, right. Right, jingling bells. Like, oh, there's a dad. Right. Doing dad stuff. that's great.
So that was fun. Yeah, good. And then New Year's Day. Hope everyone had a good New Year's. I was down in Baltimore doing working the Ravens game.
Yeah.
And oh man, what a stomp fest.
Whew, man, it's so good.
So much fun.
So much fun.
And we just, it's, so I work in the control room and we do the in-house show for the big screens and anything that goes on, music, fireworks, all that stuff kind of comes from that main control room. Mm-hmm. And we do put on a good show. Not that I have anything to do with planning it or anything. I just do the replays, but it's a hell of a show.
Nice.
You know, fireworks, and we had two giant helicopters fly over for our anthem, and music's pumping. All the videos are great. Like, they do such a good job. It was just fun, and the control room was, yeah. We were all having such a good time. It was such a big game, you know?
Yep.
And everyone's always kind of on edge, and then depending on how the game goes, everyone loosens up.
Yeah.
It was just so much fun, and you know, I'm with the replay crew, got a couple good replay, more than a couple, but I got one in that helped turn over a call, kind of.
Nice.
It was one,
nice.
I think it might have been OBJ's catch.
Yeah.
And right. They had to look at it, so, and I was...
Right,
I
yeah, they like called it a catch, but then, like, it confirmed yeah. it. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a real good look at it, and it's always fun when nice. You roll something, and you hear the crowd react, and you see, like, the coaches and players react, like, hey, I had a part in something.
Yeah, right. And they're cheering because of me.
But, nice. Yeah, and then, yeah, we just stomped them. So I spent the next couple of days just kind of, I was like looking through YouTube, seeing what people were saying, because everyone, you know, everyone's on the edge. I don't know if Lamar's this or that, and yeah. the Ravens are this or that, right? We're always the underdogs, which is fun anyway, but.
Yeah. I know, didn't they, like, the line, they still gave Miami the, like, I think they were favored.
I think they were. They favored San Francisco the week before. I know that.
I thought I saw that they favored the Miami too, or maybe I heard something. I was like, are they crazy? Like after that San Francisco game, and then they come into Baltimore, and you're still favoring Miami? Like, I don't know, but yeah, I was like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're good, but they're not to our level. So then, anyway, I had a really fun time because a lot of people stream live reactions to the game.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a bunch of videos of every team, you know, but these were Dolphins fans. And I went down a rabbit hole one night just watching all their, like, you start out the first couple drives, they're all pumped, like, yeah, you know, because they did have a few good drives right in the beginning. Like, really, yeah. they were really yep. looking good. Mm-hmm. And after that, you skip forward an hour and they're just like cussing and yelling. And I'm like, oh, this is so good.
That's awesome. Oh, man, so good.
And then the last thing I did last night, because, co-worker of mine said, he was like, oh, I watched the Hard Knocks, which is NFL Films mm-hmm. does them. It used to be training camp, but now I guess they do like every game for a certain team each year. And the Dolphins are being followed right now. So, man, watching them so pumped up. And it was really like watching them in the tape room trying to figure out Lamar was funny. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, this guy's crazy. He's like no one else. You know, you can never get a quarterback to simulate because, you know, they try to put in a quarterback that would do the plays of the opposite right. team. But they yeah. just couldn't, you know, you can't get Lamar. So it's yeah. never, that run just isn't there for anyone else. But, man, watching that, and there, I didn't know, but there, I forget his name, and their coach is such a nerd.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's such a dork. Like, he's so cringy, you know?
But he's, like, all fashion, like,
yeah, and he's, but he's kind of nerdy, but he's, like, young. I guess he's maybe young, but he looks like he's 30. He's probably, like, 40 or something, you know? But
he's probably 35 or something.
And he, like, says young things, and he's just, his kind of attitude is cringy in the way it's just, ugh. Like, it's not coachy. It's, like, it's like bro-y. It's like kid culture. It's like TikTok culture. That's how he talks. Yeah, it's like, no. But anyway, so that it just made it better. I was like, this guy's a nerd. This team's about to get stomped and they don't know it. And the way, I mean, NFL Films is so good. The way they did it, man, it just slowly gets worse and worse. And they don't really, you know, you don't see the other team other than just this like, scary faceless team, yeah, all in black. Right. just like stalking them and destroying. It was so good the way they did it, you know.
Oh, that's great.
But
Dolph and Smash are like, this must be cool. This was shows must be supposed to be a cool thing about us.
Like, yeah,
not this episode.
Well, yeah, not this week. So that was fun to watch. That's really good stuff. So sorry, nice. Dolphins fans, but they get a chance this week. They're going to play Bills for their division. So
yeah, make a little redemption game. Hopefully, not hopefully, but you know, for their sake, for their fans' sake, maybe they do well. Who knows? I don't care about them.
So that, you know, I did that on New Year's Eve and just think, you know, went home and chilled after that. Nice. Yeah, man, fun stuff.
Nice, cool, right on. Well, so my I have an adventurous tale to tell you, a winding up and down jaunt of highs and lows. So yeah, it starts off with what I call a series of unfortunate events. Oh. But it's not all unfortunate though. So Christmas Eve, right? We're all home. Corinne and I are, and Nicole and I are celebrating Yule Bokaflöd like we do, you know, with pajamas, and we have our books and there's chocolate and we're enjoying the day, and we get the call from mom or the text from mom and dad that says dad's sick. So we're not going to have Christmas morning the next morning at our parents' house, which is what the plan was.
Right.
It's not a big deal. It's like, okay, no big deal. Like, we'll figure it out. We'll do it later. We're going to do it this weekend. It was like, it's okay. And it was for the best, right? Because dad's sick and, you know, with you with a newborn and with Steph is pregnant and, you know, lots of little kids running around. It made sense, right? We'll postpone. Yeah. So that was fine. We're like, okay, that's not, you know, not too bad. No big deal, whatever. So Nicole said to me, was like, well, should we go up to Vermont a day early? Because we were going to go the day after Christmas Day. So we're going to spend Christmas Day with everybody in Baltimore and then drive up to Vermont. So I'm like, okay, that sounds fine. Why not? You know, like the only thing we were going to do on Christmas Day other than have Christmas Day with the family is that I was going to watch the football game, the Christmas night football game at the Porters, right? Because we don't have cable at our house and they do, so we were going to watch it there. So we're like, that's okay. And I was like, that's fine as long as we leave early enough that we get up there and then we can watch the football game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we did. And so everything went fine. You know, that morning I woke up kind of early and Corinne and Nicole are both still sleeping on Christmas morning. And so I like woke up and like cleaned the living room up a little bit and like made everything nice and calm and put on some Christmas music and lit some candles and, you know, turned the tree on. And then I went,
stomped around on the roof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Made some coffee, stomped on the roof, jingled some bells. And I went in and woke up Nicole, and then we went in and woke up Corinne, you know, because she is 14, so she's sleeping away. Mm-hmm. Apparently it didn't bother her. So we had Christmas morning at our place, which is really nice and even, you know, nice calm Christmas morning. Our plan was to leave maybe around 10 or so. So we did stockings, basically. We were just like, well, let's just do stockings now, and then we'll take all of our gifts up to Vermont, and then we'll do Christmas Day with my in-laws. So we did that. That was fine. It was all good. We made it up there, and our plan was to go skiing and snowboarding one day while we were up there. That was actually our Christmas presents from our in-laws. They paid for us to go skiing for the day.
Nice.
So our plan was to go skiing on Friday with our friends, the Greens, who were actually going up to Vermont. They were going to be staying in the town that's about 20 minutes away from where my in-laws live, and they were going to be going daily skiing to the mountain there that we go to, Mount Snow. Nice. And where they were staying, it's about 10, they're about 10 minutes from the mountain. My in-laws are about 30 minutes from the mountain. So we get up there and my father-in-law's like, well, tomorrow, you know, so we get there, it's Christmas Day. We have a really nice Christmas Day. We have dinner. We watch the football game. The Ravens beat the mess out of the 49ers, which is like the best Christmas present you could have asked for. Oh, so good. Oh my gosh. So good. That night, my father-in-law is like, well, tomorrow, this being Tuesday, is the best day for skiing because the rest of the week is rainy. Like, it was, like, rained out. We, like, went up, and it just rained the whole time. There's no snow. Usually, there's, like, always snow in Vermont, so it's always, like, a white Christmas. There's no snow, and it's going to be rainy all week. And so Tuesday, actually, there was, like, no rain in the forecast. It was actually a beautiful day, but we wanted to go skiing with our friends, the Greens, while they were there on Friday. So we're like, well, we're going to take the risk. Friday looks okay. Not super rainy. So we'll do that. We'll take the risk of that. So we decided not to do it. So we took like a nice hike and stuff on Tuesday, which was nice. And then on Wednesday, we went down to Massachusetts and went to a museum and met up with Nicole's aunt and uncle. And they came back with us and we all had dinner. And that was really nice. That was Wednesday night. So then Thursday, the Greens drove up on Thursday. And we were actually going to meet up with them during the day and maybe do some shopping because it was, again, just like a rainy day on Thursday. So we were going to meet up with them, and then they were going to come back to my in-law's house for dinner. We'd all have dinner for Thursday evening together, mm-hmm. and then go skiing on Friday. So Thursday during the day, my friend Liz texted Nicole and said that Brian's parents both had just tested positive for COVID, and they had been with them the night before, like a few days before for Christmas and stuff. So they were all feeling fine. So it was decided, you know, between them and us that we weren't going to take the risk and have them over for dinner. So we're like, okay, we'll just, you know, we'll see you on the mountain tomorrow. That's fine. We just won't have you guys over for dinner on Thursday night. So we're like, okay, that's no big deal. Okay. So then Thursday night, So no Christmas Day for COVID for my parents, and then no dinner for because of COVID for the Greens. So then Friday, you know, we were texting my friends.
Was it COVID for Dad, or he was just feeling bad?
Probably just feeling.
Okay, right.
He didn't test, and he was probably who knows. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So he got sick. So one thing, you know, sick for him, and then sick. Yeah, the COVID for the Greens family. And then, so we're texting back and forth on Thursday night, and we gave him like, okay, the mountain opens at 8 tomorrow. Our plan is to get there at 9, and we'll meet you guys around then, and we'll all ski the day together. Mm-hmm. Like, cool. No problem. Sounds good. And we gave him like information about where to park, you know, like all the best things, because Dave, my father-in-law, skis there almost every day throughout the winter season. He has season tickets, and he drives his like post-retirement job is driving students back and forth to school. So he'll like drive a student to school in the morning, go skiing for a couple hours, go back, pick him up in the afternoon and drive him home. So he knows the mountain well, so we gave him some tips on where to park and blah blah blah, because you know parking is not free anymore there. So something mm. so we all get ready Friday morning, and we go, and we're on our way to the mountain. And so Nicole texts Liz and says like, okay, you know, we're on our way. Like, we'll meet you here. This is the plan, blah, blah, blah. And Liz texts back. She's like, all right, sounds good. We're actually already here, because we left at, you know, 8:30 or so. And they actually left and got there early. So like we're already here. We had got a really good parking spot. We're nice and close. We didn't have to pay because we're in the side lot or whatever. And we'll, you know, let us know when you're here and we'll meet up with you. We're like, all right, sounds good. So we get there, we find a decent parking spot. We get all of our gear. Like Nicole and I both have our own stuff. I snowboard, Nicole skis, Corinne skis, but Corinne doesn't have her own gear right now. So we go through, I get all of our gear. We go through the rentals. We do all that stuff. And then we're all ready. We meet back up with Dave, 'cause he drove separately, and we get on the ski lift, the first run. So we're heading up on the ski lift for the first time. We're heading up, and Nicole gets a text from Liz, and the text says, Brian fell. He lost control and fell and hit a tree, and a ski instructor is bringing him down the mountain now. So we're like, okay. We're like, where are you guys? Like, we can meet up with you. And so then after a few minutes, Liz texts back. She's like, okay, we're at this, 'cause there's like the main big resort, you know, like eating area or whatever. There's the main, and then there's a kind of a smaller side one, and then there's, you know, there's like a little thing up on top of the mountain, whatnot. Mm-hmm. So they were at the secondary one. They're like, we're here waiting for whatever, for Brian. He's gonna get x-rays to figure out like what's the matter. So we're like, okay. So we decide to ski and snowboard down to that other little lodge, and we meet there. And so on the way there, we're like, you know, kind of getting some information updated and Liz is like, yeah, we're waiting on the x-rays. And we're like, okay, well, we can come and get the kids if they want. They can ski with us for a little bit until things are, you know, figure stuff out. And she's like, well, they kind of want to stay around because now they're freaked out. But, you know, so we made our way over there. And it's actually really cute. We come down the mountain. And, you know, we're skiing, snowboard down, and I stop, and we're at the bottom. And there's like, a single lift that goes from the smaller lodge back up the mountain. And so I'm there, and there's, you know, a couple hundred people because it's, like, the first not completely rainy day for this whole Christmas break. And that's, like, you know, key time for ski mountains and stuff is the Christmas break because that's when all the kids are out of school. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, lots of people around waiting on the lift. And I'm looking, and I see the two Greens kids, so Catherine and David. So Catherine is my daughter's best friend, and David is her younger brother. So I see them, and they're sitting over on the big porch, like outside, and they're just like looking on. Catherine's looking on her phone, and I'm probably maybe 100 yards away, something like that. And I do the whistle that like Corinne knows, and they all know. So I do the whistle nice and loud, and they both pop their heads up, and they're like looking around like little meerkats. It was so cute. I was like, yay, they know the whistle. And they saw us. So then we kind of went over, and we ended up taking them out and about for the runs. And so throughout the day, things progress with Brian. They're doing the x-rays, but they can't find anything definitive there. So they're like, okay, we're going to take him to Bennington Hospital, which is about half an hour away. And so at the same time, he's like feeling like chest pain and abdomen pain. So they're not sure if he has some type of internal damage, you know, whatever it is. So they take him to Bennington, and at Bennington, they're basically like, we can't do as much as they need to do for him here. So then they take him to Albany, which is like an hour and a half from the mountain, from where they are. And Liz is with Brian the whole time. The kids are with us. So we kind of talk back and forth, and we determine that we're going to take the kids, obviously, throughout the rest of the day, and then we'll take them back to Betsy and Dave's house with us, to my in-law's house, and they'll stay the night and have dinner with us, whatnot. And we'll figure out what we're going to do the next day. And our plan, this was on Friday, our plan was to drive back on Saturday. But, you know, it was a couple of days. That was Saturday. I didn't have to go back to school to work till Tuesday. So we had some days. So it was like, if we needed to stay around, whatever, we were willing to do whatever. So a couple hours go by, we're talking back and forth with Liz, and we find out that Brian has broken several ribs and also fractured his hip in multiple places.
Oh no.
Yeah. So they're at Albany Hospital. And basically they determine like he's in a significant amount of pain, obviously, because when you break ribs, anytime you breathe, the bones are going in and out. So after what they did, they figured out a few things. They're like, well, we need to keep you here and on pain medication long enough that you can continue to take big breaths. So that way your ribs will heal correctly and they can figure out the stuff. So, okay. So now it's going to be a couple of days. So we talk him back and forth, and we're like, okay, well, we're going to take, at this point now, it's like, we're going to go back to the Greens, Airbnb. We pick up all their kids' stuff, and then we bring them in, and we're going to take them back to Baltimore with us the next day. So, and they got there on Wednesday, planning to stay till like Sunday and then drive back on Monday. So they're like, this is the first day of their like ski vacation. So terrible. So the next morning, Liz drove back from the hospital to their Airbnb. She basically packed up everything and came over and met us at Betts and Dave's. And then we kind of exchanged some stuff. So I put all of our ski stuff in her car, and then I took all the kids' stuff so we'd have enough, because we have to also, like, we had our dogs with us, so we have this big crate that usually when we travel, we just put it in the back seat next to Corinne. It takes up 2 seats of the back 3 seats, but obviously we have to bring the kids now, so we have to figure out a different thing, so we had to kind of rearrange everything. And we find out then, because Liz tells us, because now we're like actually with her, that Brian had, I don't know exactly what happened, but when he lost control, he was going backwards. Ugh. And so he was actually lost control going backwards and then skied off the trail and into a tree. And when this had happened, Liz and the kids were like a little bit further ahead because he was kind of the sweeper role. Like he was going to go a little slower and just be behind to make sure everyone was okay.
Right.
And so when he fell, they kind of got separated a little bit. And so Liz met the kids at the bottom near the lift and then was like, didn't see Brian anywhere. And then he texted her saying like, I fell and I hurt myself. I'm not exactly sure how bad, but there's a ski instructor here and he's helping me get down. And I don't know if they like carted him down or if he skied down. I'm assuming they had to have carted him down.
Yeah. They put him on a sled.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, she said that's what had happened. And So then, like, we're like, dang, that's crazy. So we have, you know, that's the morning of. So the kids, that's the first time the kids saw their mom since we took them the day before, right? And so they're like, you know, it's nice to get a little bit of, like, because Catherine's older, and so she's been texting back and forth with her mom just to.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Make sure everything's okay, and like her mom's updating her on stuff to make sure that Catherine's not freaked out, and David's a little bit oblivious because he's now with us and we're really close friends, and there's like the new video game system, and Corinne got the Oculus that I got from you, which she absolutely loves, and they're all playing that, so they're doing okay. But it was nice for them to, like, you know, see her a little bit before they left. So then we're driving back to Baltimore. And so the plan at this point was Liz is basically going to go back to Albany Hospital and stay with Brian for anywhere between like 2 weeks and 6 weeks through like multiple weeks in the hospital potentially, and then multiple weeks of rehab, depending on where he could go. So now we're taking the kids home, and our plan is we're going to go back to Baltimore. Our friends, the Porters, live close by, and they also, like, the three of us are the COVID bubble, right? It's like during COVID, that was the three families we just all hung out all the time. We still do all the time. Mm-hmm. So David was going to kind of go and stay with the Porters for the next couple days until school started. And then Catherine was going to stay with us at our house. Or, like, she'd also said, like, I kind of want to stay at home a little bit. And we're like, that's fine. Like, maybe Corinne and Catherine could go back to their house and stay there a couple nights on their own or whatever. You know, we'd figure it out. So we come back, we're on our way back, and we get a text from Kate saying that she just tested positive for COVID. Now like we're going back and we can't really divide up the kids anymore because now we can't give the Porters David. So now we're like, okay, well now we have to keep that. So we actually just went and at the same time that was we were driving back on New Year's Eve, you know, so the 30th. And the plan was that we were going to go back and then spend the day with the Porters on the 31st all day, watch the football game, and then have New Year's Eve night, and then, right, you know, have the whole thing. So that's all now gone. So now we're just with the kids, we're driving back, mm-hmm, and we're like heading back to our house, and we're like, well, I guess because now we have both kids, we're just going to go to the Greens' house and we'll stay at their house for the next couple of days because it'll be easier for the Greens kids because all their stuff is there and they have a bigger house. So it's easier, right, to have like a guest room. And Nicole and I, we talked to Liz, we just like changed the sheets and stuff and stayed in their master bedroom. But then it was like, so then we were there for a few days and then so like Kate reached out to us and was like, Because Sean and the boys were not testing positive for COVID, but Kate was. Mm-hmm. She was isolating. Mm-hmm. And then so now Sean is like solo parenting, you know, his like toddler son and his 8-year-old son who are driving him crazy. And so she's like, can you guys mind like maybe having a fire at your house and having everybody spend some time outside? And so they ended up coming over and we hung out for a little bit. And then they came over in the evening as well for, that was the next day for like New Year's Eve and stuff. So we did end up spending New Year's Eve together at the Green's house without the Green adults being there, but with the kids and then the Porters, you know, Sean and his two boys, all of us stayed there for the evening. He took the younger son back obviously early in the evening, but then came back and we all spent the night and had to kind of watch the Ravens game secondhand. So I had on, they have like a Roku live TV, so it's kind of like some live TV, but there's not like normal CBS, but there was a like NFL update channel that kept going. So we were like, we were watching that. So it would like, it was probably 2 or 3 or 4 minutes behind what was happening in the game. So I'm watching the game on my phone on the ESPN app Gamecast. So I'm not actually watching the game. I'm just watching the Gamecast. So it's like, you know, person made a throw, person made a catch, da, 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 doing you for a second, third, fourth down. So I'm watching it like that and watching the replays on the TV occasionally, and it's updating. And so it's like, and David, the Green's son, he's kind of into football too. So he's like watching along with me, and we're like, so it's a very unsatisfying way to watch the Ravens stomp the mess out of the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But you know, it would have been worse if the Ravens lost. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, it's been a wild one. So yeah, then, so that's, Christmas or, you know, New Year's Eve, and then New Year's Day, we had the day off. And so I just kind of hung out with the kids. And then, went back to work on Tuesday. But then, yeah, so then like we kind of keep getting some updates from, Brian and Liz. And then just today Liz texted, and she said, she says she's, and so things have getting, we've been getting a lot of good news about Brian, right? It was like, first it was going to be a really long time. Then it was going to be like a week, or then it was going to be like 3 weeks. And then it was going to be like maybe 2 weeks. And then we just found out that he was going to be able to like, so he's at, Albany Medical Hospital. So they were going to like move him from there to a rehab center. But then like 2 days ago, Liz said, well, they're taking like the chest tube out and he can get up and move around. So they're going to move him to a different area in the hospital. That's like a shorter term rehab area. And then she just texted today, at about 4:30 and said discharge tomorrow and we're coming home.
Oh,
so yeah, so really good. So yeah, she said, all the Greens are returning home. I'll likely stay home with him for another week because he needs help getting up from lying down and a spotter when walking, trying to find some in-home PT as well. But like her father-in-law came up from, DC, Virginia area to take care of the kids. So we were actually with them until Tuesday morning. Like we spent the night Monday night. And so I drove Corinne and Catherine both to school in the morning, and Nicole, drove David back over to the Porters and they took him to school. So, but then, so it wasn't until Tuesday day that I actually came home. And Tuesday night I came home like to my actual house after like the vacation. I was like, oh, it's good to be home. Even though we're like, and it, you know, out of all the, like the whole time, like things were fine. I even said that to the Greens kids at one point. I was like, you know, it's really sad that your dad got hurt and it's unfortunate, but it's been really nice spending time with you guys. You know, like we were all like got to spend time together for the break, which was cool. So, but it was a wild up and down and, mix in two awesome Ravens games there. And so it was a wild break, but now we're back and, it's a new year. Yeah.
Man, what a bummer. But it, like, yeah, like,
yeah.
Like if it lined up so perfectly for you guys to be there to help out, if you weren't there, it would be such a,
right. Exactly. So if they rough. Were, yeah. If they were like some, like if they had chosen to go to, cause they had asked us, a couple months ago, they were like, we're thinking about doing, you know, a mini kind of ski vacation over the break between Christmas and New Year's. And they were thinking about going somewhere in New England, potentially. They were also thinking about maybe going out to Utah, right? There was a few different options. Mm-hmm. And, so we actually suggested going to Mount Snow cause it was kind of a smaller mountain. It's not as popular, you know, like as many people as some of the bigger ones like Stowe and Okemo and Killington. And all these big ones up in Vermont. And we're like, it's really nice. You know, the town's really nice nearby and, you know, it'd be a great spot. So they ended up going to Snow, which was really cool. And yeah, fortunately we were there.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Yeah. Cause exactly. If we weren't there and Liz had to be with Brian the whole time, the kids would have just been like schlepped around with them going back and forth between hospitals and stuff. And yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah, like I said, a wild up and down ride over the last week and a half or so. But all seems really well. So it seems that Brian and Liz will be coming home tomorrow, which, you know, is weeks and weeks, it like sooner than they thought possibly could have been, you know, could have been in the beginning. Because then it was like, you know, they didn't know if he had internal damage, all this stuff. And it just kept like, it was like the possibilities kept rising. And then they kind of quickly were whittled away as well, right? He's like, okay, yeah. no interior damage. You know, like, nothing, like, his hip wasn't broken. It was fractured in multiple places, but it wasn't, like, you know, out of... You know, it's like, he didn't have to... There's no casts involved. It's all just, like, slow, you know, just some slow rehab. So it'll take some time for him to get back, but a lot quicker than what they originally thought could be, so... Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, man.
I know. I was like, oh, poor guy, poor family, you know, like, ready for this, like, fun weekend. We never even got to ski with the whole family. It was like, it happened before. It was like, we're on our first lift trip up. It's like, yeah, Brian fell. We're at this lodge. You know, he's getting x-rays. Right. It's pretty bad. We're like, dagger, man. And it wasn't even a great day for skiing either. it did stop raining, but it was super foggy. And so the fog is like tons of mist. And so everything was wet and the snow was wet and sticky. And because it was wet and sticky, it was like all of the trails were very moguly, because where everyone is like, you know, carving on skis, just making moguls. So it's like tons of moguly stuff everywhere and tons of people. Cause everyone, although it was like still a shitty day, it was the best day of the week so far. So there was tons of people there. But, you know, it's like when you don't go skiing all that often, you're like, oh, we're skiing. You know, it's like, this is great. And we had a great time. So, but yeah, it was a wild one.
It is wild. Jeez.
But like I said, yeah, fortunately we were there. And fortunately we were, you know, like my in-laws were there and they basically offered up whatever help they needed as well. As long as Brian and Liz were still up in Vermont, they were, you know, able to help out for however. So, but yeah. Now we're back, and it's 2024, and my coworker Katie does not have COVID apparently, which is good. Yeah, because we came back on Tuesday, and throughout the day on Tuesday, she like was like sounding worse and worse. She was coughing a little bit, and she had been sick just like I had for like weeks. We were both sick together, but you know, we work together, we co-teach, and there was a lot of kind of important things going on, so we couldn't, like, I think I told you that before, we couldn't really take off. Like, I think she took one day off one spot, and then I took a day off one time. But otherwise, we had both kind of worked through it. And then she was like, yeah, I've been, like, she was saying to me on Tuesday, she's like, I've been fine, you know, I've been, like, sick for, like, 3 weeks, and I've been healthy for the last, like, 4 days, and I feel like I'm getting sick again. And she was, like, coughing a little bit. So she actually, like, about a third of the way through the day, she, like, put on a mask just to be careful. And I could just tell, like, in her voice and the way she was coughing throughout the day, I was like, oh, it's getting worse and worse. And she texted me this morning, was like, yeah, it's worse. I'm not going to come in. And then she just texted me now. It was like, yep, still bad. No COVID, but I'm not going to come in. I was like, ugh. But, you know, it's fine. It's a beauty having a co-teacher is that we can, you know,
help. That's nice.
Help pick up the slack when the other person needs it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so everybody's sick and injured. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. So it's been a crazy, crazy time. But yeah, news was fun. We did some fun stuff. We Nicole went out and grabbed some food, so we did a couple different kind of fun food things. We did like a lentil dish that was like we kind of looked up some different stuff from around different countries, traditional things that different countries do for New Year's, and one was like a lentils dish, and then we were gonna do lentil, and then we were also gonna do like a noodle dish, like a soba noodle, that's the one we ended up doing, which was really good. And then we made homemade funnel cakes right before, you know, midnight, which was fun. Nice. Yeah, that was cool. And it's the same exact recipe as pancakes.
Okay.
Just like pancakes and waffles, they're all the same. It's just, you know, like, it's just the difference between, like, maybe, you know, 2 teaspoons of baking powder instead of one, you know,
or oil.
Like an extra egg or, yeah, right. Yeah, obviously, yeah, you're cooking it in oil, so.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, a little bit more milk to make it runnier or something like that, so. But it was fun. So we did that, and yeah, and all was well. But. Yeah, so it's been like, you know, tonight will be my third night back sleeping in my own bed after like that many nights of just being kind of all over the place. And it was all fine, you know, because it was like, we're at our in-laws, which we've been plenty of times, so that's a comfortable place. And then we're at our friend in the Green's house, and we've been there tons and tons of times. So it's not like anything was just like awkward. It was just not home. You know, and like the whole point of coming home on the 30th was to be able to be at home for a few days before going back to work. No, that didn't happen. Yeah. I had no days at home before coming back to work.
Well, I'm glad that Brian's coming home.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, the worst part about being at the hospital, staying at the hospital, it's like, it's brutal just hanging in there every day. Like,
right.
You know, with all the stuff with Caitlin, just spend so much time. It's just like, ugh, it's terrible. All
you want to do is go home. Wears down. Yeah.
I got to get home. Like, everything's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it's like, it's not like he's can move around or anything. You know, he's basically just bedridden. You know, obviously they have to get him up and down occasionally.
Right.
But he's, like, not moving much, you know, so it's not like he's, I don't know why you would be at the hospital and still moving around. But, you know, like, he's just pretty much bedridden the whole time, just staying there bored and just in pain and, like, ugh,
it's the terrible. Worst.
Yeah. But, yeah, that'll be really good that he's... That'll be home, so... And I was actually earlier, maybe Wednesday, I forgot if I tell you this or not, but I am I'm, like, chaperoning what we call the Chill Club in Baltimore City. Did I tell you about that? Mm-mm. So Baltimore City, in conjunction with a group called the Chill Club, there's like three or four schools that do this after school snowboarding program.
Oh, nice.
And our students did it last year, but it was on Tuesday nights. And it last winter time, I was finishing up my last class for my teaching certification. So it was just like, I just couldn't do it. I was like, oh, that sounds really fun, but I can't chaperone because I got to, you know, focus on this other stuff. But this year I don't. So when I got the email again that went out to our teachers to be like, hey, is anyone interested in chaperoning? I was like, Tuesday night, you know, I could do that. So I joined up. So I'll be chaperoning for 6 weeks for snowboarding for a bunch of our students. And there were, you know, I think it's like 10 or 12 or 15 students, something like that. So we'll be going up to the mountain 6 weeks in a row, which is going to be cool. We're going to Liberty.
Oh, nice.
Classic. But I was on Wednesday, I realized that our first trip for the Chill Club is on this coming Tuesday. Which I think is the 9th. And when we had done the whole exchange of things to bring back to Baltimore with Liz, I put my snowboard and my boots and all of my snow gear, snow jacket, snowboard pants, everything are in her car, still up in Vermont, you know? So I was like, oh, crap. So then I was talking to Nicole. I was like, what do I do? I mean, because I know I can figure out a rental thing with the Chill program, because they say right away, like, you know, their chaperones, the chaperones that they want from the schools don't have to have any experience. Like, you can go through the whole program like the kids do and, like, take the classes and stuff. Right. But when you sign up, you say basically, like, do you need gear? Do you need, you know, equipment? Blah, 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 blah. You say yes or no. And so I said no for everything, right, because I had it all. But now I'm like, well, I can figure out the gear, but, like, I guess I have to buy a new pair of snow pants, you know, like, to go. Oh, yeah. So then we actually, yesterday, Liz said that, like, she was going to be coming home, in a day or two and then going back up to Albany, like a week later to check on Brian. Like, and then when he was ready, she would come back. Like, she wasn't going to stay the whole time with him. So then I was like, okay, that's good. So, you know, I'll get the stuff in time. And then today I find out, before I found out from Liz that they're going to come back to tomorrow, that the program has actually been pushed back 2 weeks because of the snow situation, because it's, like, kind of been rainy and not great conditions. So I was like, okay, well, I don't have to worry about it. And then Liz said they'll be back tomorrow. So I was like, well, that would have worked anyway. So it's just like back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
need time to breathe.
Yeah, right. So it's funny. I was kind of writing down all the twists and turns before we got, just so I could get them all back in my head. You know, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be a good one.
Stub my toe.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, I did. Yeah, like I was. Let's see, the day Christmas or New Year's Eve. Yeah, when the porters came over, or Brian came over with the boys and stuff, we were all outside by the fire and hanging out. We were just staying outside just to make sure that, you know, if they were still, you know, they were all testing negative for COVID, but you don't know for sure. So We were outside, right. and we were all taking turns riding on the e-bike around the property, and I went to take it back over, put it into the smithy, and I saw I was walking it over and like kind of walking it up into the smithy, and then I reached down to flip the kickstand down with my hand, and when I did that, when it opened up all the way, it pinched my thumb, so like the flat of my thumb, and took like the size of a pea chunk out of the flat of my thumb, you know, like where my callus is. It was just like a clunk, like this round pea sized chunk. I was like, ow. But like, fortunately it was like just flat. It was like just the callus surface, you know? So I was like, so I was like, man, it doesn't stop. Something more. So what do you think about the Christmas gifts that I made for you?
Yeah, they were great. I got them right here, actually.
Nice. Right on, right on.
Got a nice fork. I assumed you made the bag.
Yep, made the bag. Because I was trying to think of, like, what to do to, like, package them. And I was like, oh, maybe I can make some bags real quick. That'd be kind of cool. Like, maybe canvas or leather. I was like, what do I do? And I just kind of went through the craft stuff we have. And I was like, I'll make some bags. Because then it was like, because you mentioned, you had messaged me, like, oh, I like the fork and this little pokey thing. What's this for? And I had seen that type of thing when I was at the Renaissance Festival. There was a sheath that had a knife and a fork and a spike in it. And so, and it was like an eating, you know, those things go together. So you have the knife and the spike. So it's like a fork and knife combo, but it's just a single spike. So you can poke and lift things up. And so I thought that'd be really fun to make, and I could, there are a bunch of different versions of ones I'd seen from other people. So that was like Christmas Eve. No, maybe the day before Christmas Eve. Right, the day. Yeah, so it was like the Friday or Saturday or something before Christmas Eve. I was like, I want to make a couple of these. I had some more material because I bought quarter-inch square bar to make all the twisted forks for you guys.
Yeah.
And so I had some extra pieces, and so I was like, I wonder if I could do the little, like, Viking eating thorn, you know, or spike or whatever it's called. So I was like, I could do some twists. I could do a little thing on the back. That'd be kind of cool. And then it was like Christmas Eve day. And I was like, how am I going to package this? So I was like, I want to hook them together somehow. So I came up with the little like leather thong thing with the hole so you can hook them together. And then I was like, I need some type of bag. So I like made the bags for them. And I still like in my mind, I was like, I have a knife idea that I want to do. So if it works out the way I think it will, then I'll, you know, I'll make the knife and then it can go in the bag with the fork and the spike and whatever else. And then maybe do spoons for you guys too.
No, it's awesome. The fork is nice and light. Like you definitely slimmed everything down, but right. You started at the size kind of you wanted. And the twist on the spike is really nice.
Nice. Yeah. I can't remember, like all three of them were like a little different. One's like kind of tighter, one's medium, one's a little longer. So, but they all three of them look nice, like consistent. Yeah. So
no, this one's really nice.
Nice. Yeah. Those are fun to make. Cause I'm just like basically, you know, put a taper on one side and then do the curl and the scroll. And then what did I do? I forget the process. Maybe it was taper one, then twist, then do the scroll work on the end. I don't know. Mm. But no, it was fun. It was fun to do that. And yeah, making the fork. So I made three forks. And I wanted them to be a little longer because the one I made ended up being kind of shorter than I thought it would be. Mm. So it was actually really hard to make them longer because I didn't want them to be wider. And I was using the same bar, round bar that we used to bend around it.
All right.
But when you do that, it makes those three bends basically the same size. Mm. So to make it longer, it's like, how do you make it longer? Well, you have to like readjust. And then, so I made the fork tines a little bit longer. So, you know, those ended up being longer than my design. But they actually, it was closer to my original drawing or something like that. So it actually worked out really well. So I was happy with the way the forks turned out, but they were definitely harder to make the second, third, and fourth time around.
Well, maybe I'll take off an eighth of an inch just to doll them down. You're trying to stab my tongue through, like yours are.
I did leave them a little bit duller than the other one is. I was like, yeah, I guess.
I don't know. The thorn is pretty thorny.
Yeah, I thought that too, because I was thinking like that'd be kind of cool. You could use it as a scribe as well or something. You could use it as a marking tool if you know, whatever it is that like makes it used more often, because I've seen other people do that. Like usually a scribe is going to be a hardened steel, so it'll stay sharper longer, but it can still work perfectly fine as like an awl or a poking tool. a shuriken.
Yeah, no, they're great. And also, Nicole did the stockings, which we really loved.
Yeah.
Caitlin really loved it too, and she was like, "Oh, this is so happy that you could save what the mice." Because I don't think I said mice had destroyed like two of our stockings.
Right. Yeah.
And well, Maeve's, yeah, her original one for her whatever two Christmases. Yep. And then mine actually still has some bites in it, but it's like a Target stocking, so it's not a big deal.
It could be
either get a new one or make it shorter. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
But no, everything was great.
Nice.
And then I just gave you guys some 3D printed crap, and
they're cool. I like it. I like the little box.
This is awesome. I'll say the whistle. Right, uh-huh. The it is meant to be like a backpack whistle, which is cool. You put the loop through, which I didn't have time. I was going to put loops through and stuff, and if you try to blow it full bore, it basically has four whistles on each one. It's so loud.
Oh, nice!
Let's see how hard it did. Like, my ears rung.
Nice.
So it is a perfect. Backpack just in case whistle.
Yeah, right. Safety whistle. Yeah, security whistle. Nice. Yeah.
So I printed that out and a little. Yeah, right. Oh yeah, and then the little box.
Yeah, little circular boxes.
Yeah. Cool. Just fun stuff.
Yeah, no, they were fun. We were playing with them, and then Nicole got annoyed. She was like, "Stop blowing the whistle!" Christmas morning, we're like, "Wait, wait, Kurt and I."
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, so we're back. Happy New Year's, everybody. Scott from the Crafty Wiener reached out to me, and he wants us to have him on and wants us to have us on his podcast. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about some like New Year ideas and things. And so we'll have that coming up. So we'll let everybody know when that's going to happen. You have any recommendations this week, Dev?
I was looking for a thing, like, I can't find it. Not necessarily.
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks is cool, watching the Dolphins get beat.
Yeah.
And if we don't, do High Fidelity for the, our book club, you should go read that. It's really
good. Where are you in the book, in De-Evolution?
I think I'm close to the end.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably two thirds away from the middle to the end, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Just getting fun.
some good stuff.
Yeah, nice. Cool. Well, my recommendation this week is Mascon Leather, MASCON Leather. He's an Irish leather worker, and let me pull it up real quick. I had it, but there it is. He does some pretty nice YouTube videos as well. Making the leather stuff, it's always nice. Like, when you see someone do leather work who's really confident and good at it, and they use really quality tools and quality leather, it always makes it look so easy. You're like, man, you make it look so easy. Like, no big deal. But when you have that, like, high quality stuff, it doesn't always matter in making. Like, sometimes you can make the same amount of quality things, even with the shittiest tools and the shittiest supplies.
Right.
But
right.
In leather, it really makes a difference. Like, when you have the higher quality stuff, it translates almost directly into a better looking product.
Right.
When I was trying to think of like some type of leather thing to do, I was just like searching around for different people's leather bags and stuff or whatever. I was like, how am I going to do something that's going to, put the fork and the spike together. And so I was searching around and kind of looking at his stuff, which I had looked at before, but I didn't necessarily find something through him, but he just popped into my mind. I was like, he does some really good leather work, and he's got some new YouTube videos up, and, pops on off my Instagram. So you guys can find him at Mascon Leather, MASCON Leather, on Instagram. Check him out. Give him a follow. He does some cool stuff and really beautiful leather work. And he's kind of like, it's funny, he does a lot of stuff with like, it's kind of like a, not really punk rock leather, but you know, just has a little bit of that feel, like he's got tattoos and he's always like, you know, drinking, what's the licorice alcohol, or it's like the deer head,
Jaeger,
the green bottle. Jaeger. Yeah. Right. He's always like doing stuff with Jaeger and like putting like whiskey in his coffee, and you don't ever see his face, but it's always like his hands, and he's like showing stuff and making stuff. So, but it's fun to watch. Like, he does a good job and sometimes has some good looking half naked ladies around. So, you know, it's always kind of fun too. He does some stuff with some, like, occasionally he'll throw in like a bondage leather thing that he's been working on. Like, all right.
This leather guy parties.
Yeah, no. Looks like he's having fun.
Oh, cool. I'll do one more. If you have Photoshop, mess around with the auto generate AI stuff. Oh man, I've been having so much fun. I've been sending Dust and our brother's photos, and then I posted a few. I'll probably post this last one, which I really liked. It's just been outside the house. Yeah, there's a big open strip. Well, there's a farm field, and then there's a long clear cut strip of power lines.
Right. Yeah.
So in the morning and stuff, if I can capture, both shots were in the morning and the other one was midday. It was just a quick little shot, but catching like sunrises and fog and the moon at night. The first one was the moon one. And this other one, I think it might've been yesterday morning. I was like, you know, getting stuff ready in the morning. I saw the sunrise outside. So I ran outside with my camera, snapped a shot. Ah, it's so much fun.
Yeah. I know. I was thinking, like, you know, when we do like thumbnails and stuff, you know, and like you did it with the bike and stuff, you know, you tried a few things, but like if we wanted to do something more cinematic for a thumbnail, you know, it could be just like you get a picture of me and then be like, put him in this situation and do this. You know, I was thinking about like with the Bowie knife, I want to do like the cowboy Bowie knife or the, you know, the Wild West Bowie knife with all the, like using the, like the leaf springs and the bone and the handle bone and like a railroad spike for stuff. And, you know, and then like for the thumbnail, I'll be like, I could be holding it up, but, you know, and you make it looks like I'm sitting on a horse and like in the middle of an old West town or something. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with AI, you could just like auto generate that stuff quickly.
Yeah, it's
wild.
It's so much fun. Yeah. It's basically just circling an area in your photo, and then saying what you want in it. It takes a little work to sort through stuff and figure out where you want stuff. And like, I did this one. It's like kind of steampunky, dust and salt. It's like a blimp flying. Yeah. And there's like some towers in the distance and like a castle to the left. And there's like a couple guys having a fire like in the field.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought about. I was like, oh yeah, we could do something like that. Just like throw some extra things into the picture, you know, to make it. And that's when it'd be fun to use it. Right. When you're like, you want to like, you know, build up a thumbnail, right. Or something like that, where you're like, you still see the final product. So it's not like relying, but it's just like making it more cinematic. Same way we do the cinematic stuff, you know, for the videos.
Yeah. Like if it was the Viking hatchet, it could be in a Viking village or, you know, that stuff in the background.
Right.
Like a longboat in the background.
Yeah. Right,
yeah. Exactly. Mess around with that. If you guys have it, it's amazing how well it works.
Nice. Cool. Right on, man. Awesome. Well, Happy New Year again, Dev.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Everybody, Happy New Year. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We took the week off, but, you know, we took a week off and the Ravens won twice, and then I had my buddy break a bunch of ribs. So it's been a wild week, 2 weeks. You got a cool story. We come back with two Ravens wins. Yeah, they're going to home field advantage in the playoffs. Ah, so good. And yeah, so make sure you guys don't forget to check out the videos that we just posted. We posted two videos recently, one of the e-bike review and then the other one of the cutlery, the forged cutlery. So if you want to see what we're talking about with the twisted fork, it's the same one that I made in the video. I just made some extra ones for Devin and my two other brothers, which they haven't opened theirs yet, so I can't post about it on Instagram until they do. And the other thing that I made for my parents, which we talked about here, which is the axe handle spatulas, they haven't opened them yet. So everyone else who got them has opened them, so we got to wait to post about that as well. But you guys can, when I do post about that, it'll be on Instagram, so you can follow us there on Instagram, at The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy. And then if you guys want to support us further, you can go over to patreon.com/shattercraftsmanship and support us there. And that just all goes back into the channel and everything that we do. So you're contributing to the podcast and the channel and everything else. It all makes a difference. So thank you all so much.
Yeah.
All right. And on that note, thank you guys all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.